Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Chavav. We will begin on the Mishnah Daf Chavav Omer Aleph. We continue learning the halachas of Lishma and a get. We also need to review that the get has two parts to it, the nusach get. One is what's known as the typhus, which we would call in English the boilerplate, the standard nusach of the get. And then there's the tarif, which are the unique aspects of a specific divorce, the husband's name, the wife's name. We'll see in the Mishnah who they are, what they are. So says the Mishnah, the opinion of Tanakama, HaKoyis of Toysa Gittin, somebody writes Toysa Gittin, the form, just the standard form, Tzarech Shiniach Mokam Ish, or Mokam Isha, he has to leave space for the man's name and the woman's name. To Rishonim question why our Mishnah doesn't mention the name of their cities, that we learned already earlier in the Masechta, the halacha is that those elements also have to be in the get. Why are they not mentioned in the Mishnah? Some Rishonim learn because midaraisa, they're not absolutely essential. Other Rishonim say that absolutely the shame he'ir and the shame of the name of the husband's city and the wife's city must be in the get. The reason why the Mishnah doesn't mention it, they say it's because it's included in saying the name of the husband and the wife, especially in those times when people didn't have family names. How do you identify who the person is? By saying it's this person from this city. So it's actually already in the Mishnah. Umakam hazman, the date. And it's important to understand what does the Mishnah mean when it says the date. For as we learned, and as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in today's shir, the reason a date has to be in a get is because we can't have a predated get. And we'll review in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem why. So the question that the Rishonim debate is when the Mishnah says, Mokam Hazman, what does the Mishnah mean? Does the Mishnah mean that the date has to be put in there because that's considered part of the tarif? Or is the Mishnah saying that the date has to be put in there because of the concerns that come up when you don't have a proper date? What would be the nafkamina? Two very big nafkaminas la'aloch l'maisa. One nafkamina is, do you have to write the date l'shmo? If the date is only there because you need a date, so you just have to write the proper date, but you don't have to write it l'shmo. If the date it has to be there, on the other hand, because it's part of the get, then you have to write it l'shmo. Another question that comes up based around this machlokes is the following. We see many times when we get forms, so it's going to say Tavshin. We're just going to add what year. Tavshin Samaches, Tavshin Samachtes. So the question is as follows. If the date is part of the tarif of the get, then you can't have the Tavshin printed beforehand because it's part of the date and the tarif we need to have written l'shma. If, on the other hand, the date is only there, that it shouldn't be a shtar mugdam, so it wouldn't be a problem to have the Tavshin, and you just have to add in the Samaches, the Samachtes, or whatever the year is. Shtari milva, when you write loan documents, tzar shinich makam milva, makam malva, makam loiva, place for the malva's name, for the loiva's name, makam mas, the amount of the loan, and makam hazman, and the date. So there's a very interesting Maram Shif. The Maram Shif makes an observation. As we're going to learn in the Gemara, this din of lishma is only by a get. By all other documents, there's no din of lishma. So why, by other documents, do you need, according to the Tanakhama's opinion, who we're learning now, to leave over these elements? Because we don't want to differentiate between different shtaros. And if we're not going to leave this over by other shtaros, we may make an error by get also. So ask the Maram Shif, so the name of the Malvin, the Loiva, just like by get we have the name of the husband and the wife, by a loan document, we have the name of the Malvin, the Loiva. But in a get, there is no space for money. There is no money mentioned in a get. So why does the money have to be also written specifically by Shtar Malva? There's no concern that we're going to get confused, because there's nothing to get confused about. There is no money mentioned in a get. So answers the Maram Shik. Very nice teretz. The Maram Shik answers as follows. He says, the point of the Gemara, the point of the Mishnah, to say that we have to do something by other documents because of a get, is not to say that they have to be identical. That's not what the Gemara is saying, what the Mishnah is saying. What the Mishnah is saying is that anything that's unique, to the shtar, which isn't boilerplate, we can't fill out beforehand. So of course, money, which is mentioned in a shtar malva, on the next case, we're going to talk about a shtar mekach, which is mentioned in those shtars, as not mentioned in a get. That's not the point. The point is that's the unique element and the unique aspect of the shtar, and the Mishnah is teaching us that anything that's unique to a specific transaction cannot be filled out previously. Shtar in Mekach, similarly, if we're having sales transactions, Tzor Shenich Makom HaLekeach, the seller, the buyer, Makom HaMoich, the seller, Makom HaMoz, the amount, Makom HaSoda, the exact description of the property being sold, or Makom HaZman, and says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, the reason for this is Ipnei HaTakona. What this means, we'll spend a lot of time with Shem and the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Paisel B'Kula, which means as follows. The Tana Kama differentiated by all documents, not making a difference between a get and other documents. The tarif, you can never write previously. The tarifus, you could always write previously. Rabbi Yehuda holds that by all documents, both by a get and all other documents, you can't write any part of the document previously. And Rabbi Lazar has a third opinion. Machsh v'kulon, chutz migit neshim, shenem v'kosav olashma. And there's a machlokes Rashi in Tosfos how to understand Rabbi Lazar's opinion. Regarding a get, there is no machlokes. Everybody agrees that Rabbi Lazar's opinion regarding a get is that you can't write neither the tarif nor the typhus previously. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos is what's going to be Rabbi Lazar's opinion regarding other shtaris. Tosfos' opinion is that Rabbi Lazar holds by other shtaris, there's no din of lishma, you can write the entire shtar beforehand. Rashi says Rabbi Lazar's only lenient by other shtaris on the typhus portion, but on the tarif portion, he will agree they cannot be written beforehand. Tosfos brings two rayas to his opinion. First of all, his wording of machsh b'kulon. Machsh b'kulon seems to indicate that he's completely lenient. According to Rashi, he's not totally lenient. He's only lenient as far as the tosfos is concerned, not as far as the tarif is concerned. Furthermore, Tosfos says that according to his understanding of Rabbi Lazar's opinion, we could understand the succession of the Mishnah. First, the Tana Kama says tosfos, yes, tarif not, everywhere. Then Rabbi Yehuda says tarif and tarif always can't be prepared beforehand. And now Rabbi Lazar says by Gittin you have Rabbi Lazar is sort of a combination of the two previous opinions. But Rabbi Lazar is being more makel, by get you have to have everything, and everything else he's going to be completely makel. But according to Rashi, Tosfos suggests Rabbi Lazar should have belonged in the Mishnah between the opinion of the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda. So Mefarshim defend Rashi's pshat, saying as follows. The Tana Kama is the most lenient, one extreme. Rabbi Yehuda is the most machmer, the other extreme. And Rabbi Lazar is right in the middle, so that's why the Mishnah followed that approach. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, says the Gemara, as we're identifying what is considered part of the tarif of a get, tzorach sheniach, he also has to leave open af mok mareyat mataris l'chol adam. That's an essential part of the get, saying that they're now, the marriage is terminated. So the Pnei Yeshua asks, if Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul is so correct, why doesn't our Mishnah mention that as one of the parts that's the tarif? So the Pnei Yeshua answers, because that's obvious that that's the tarif. That the whole point of the get is to separate the husband and wife. So obviously, that's the tarif. Rabbeinu Tam makes an interesting observation in Tosfos that this nusach of arei at muteres l'chol adam wasn't necessarily the wording that was always used in Gittin. Because Rabbeinu Tam says it's not that you have to use these specific words. You have to use words that indicate that the marriage is separate, that they're terminating, and she cannot marry anyone she wants. But using these specific words is not absolutely the wording you must use, even though certainly in all our Gittin, that's the wording that's used. In fact, I saw a Shiloh that Ramosha discusses, that it was a get written, and instead of writing out the entire sentence of Harei At Muteres L'chol Adam, only the words Harei At Muteres, without the L'chol Adam, were written. And the question was, is that a valid get? So Rav Moshe says, of course, in a situation where a get could be rewritten, the get should be rewritten. You should use the proper language. But in a situation that was being discussed in that Shaila, the husband wasn't there anymore. It was a place where it was difficult to find a cipher to write a get. Says Rav Moshe, since it's quite obvious what the intention of the words Harei At Muteres mean, and our Mishnah is teaching us that the main point is to get the point across, as Rabbeinu Tam just said. So he said, but the Eved, you could use that get. There's also a question that's discussed, a number of questions. One question is, what will be the din by Shtar Kedushin? We know that the first Mishnah, Masechta Kedushin, teaches us that he should nicknas b'shloshet drachim. Kedushin could be affected three ways, b'kes b'shtar b'biyah. What will be the din on the Shtar Kedushin? Is it like a Shtar get or not? So it's machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say it's identical to a get, it has to be done with shmo. Others say no. And what is the machlokes based on? So I saw a very nice explanation. We know that the Gemara says many times, makish havai liyitziyah. We compare kedushin to gittin. So now the question is as follows. Which is the word that we use to teach that a get has to be lishma? Because the Torah uses two words to describe a get. Sefer, krisis. So if the word that teaches us that a get has to be written lishma is the word sefer, so then, similarly, if we're affecting Kedushin with a Sefer, with a Shtar, it has to be the same type of Shtar. But if the word that teaches us that Gittin has to be done with Shema is the word Krisus, so that's a din specific to Gittin, where I'm doing Krisus, but not necessarily for Kedushin. Taisus also discusses what's going to be the din by Shtar Shichur. What's going to be din the Shtar Shichur if the Shtar Shichur doesn't have to be Lishma or not? So Taisus suggests the Shtar Shichur doesn't have to be done with Shema. Why? He said, because we learned the Gemara, that the Gemara, Mishnah, the Begimel Drachim, Shavu, Gitei Shichurei Avodim, Legitei Noshim. So, and the Gemara gave us the three exact situations. And the Gemara added one more, Ba'aba Drachim, but never did the Gemara say this comparison. So it's a proof that this is not the same. Others, the Tosefta disagrees, and says the Shtar Shichur has to be written like a get. What will be the halacha? The Rishonim already discussed, if in a place where you have to write the typhus, L'chatchila, according to Yehuda, you always have to write the typhus, or in other situations, and you didn't write the typhus, you wrote the typhus beforehand, what will be the halacha? So there's a three-way machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that once the halacha is that a typhus, in whatever situation, cannot be written beforehand, then you can't write it beforehand, and even with the evidence possible. Others say, the l'chatchila, you shouldn't do it, but b'di'evid, it's kosher. But I saw a machloikis, what is the definition of b'di'evid? Some define b'di'evid that if you already wrote the document incorrectly that way, b'di'evid, we allow you to use the document. Others explain that b'di'evid means something else entirely. B'di'evid means that you not only wrote the document, but you used the document. But let's say you wrote the document, and before you actually use the document, you came to the shir, and you learned that you did the wrong thing. That's not called a b'di'evid. Just write the document properly. So our Mishnah is teaching us, again, that you have to write the Torah l'shma. Says Shmuel, says Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? For we have so many times, Baruch Hashem, learned. There's a machlokes, a fundamental machlokes throughout our Masechta of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Elazar holds Eid Mesira Karti, Rameya holds Eid Chsima Karti, which really is based on how you define a pasuk. Rabbi Elazar says the word v'kos of law refers to the actual get, and Rameya holds it refers to the signatures. So says Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Domar Eid Mesira Karti. And therefore, being in Ksiva Lashma, the Torah has to be written Lashma. So ask the Gemara. We have to speak out to Gemara's question. We've had three Mishnayos that Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel has explained follows the opinion of Elazar. We had a Mishnah Daf Chaf Aleph that the Mishnah says that Ein Kaisvin, you can't write a get b'mechubal karka, Kosav, but what happens if you did? So Rav Shehuda Mishmul said, what does the Mishnah there mean? The Mishnah says that the Tarif, even if you wrote, even if it's already after the fact, it's disqualified. The Typhus, L'chatchila, don't write, but the evidence are right. Then we had another Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the Hakel K'sherim L'chtoiv, K'cheris Shait V'katan, are all kosher to write a get. And again, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul explained what does that Mishnah mean? That the Chereshite of a cotton only wrote the Typhus, not the Tarif. And now, we already had the third Mishnah, that again, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul is explaining, follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, follows the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, and our Mishnah is teaching us that according to Rabbi Lazar, the Tarif has to be written Lishma. So Gemara is asking, why does Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul have to keep on repeating that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Lazar? Why does he have to keep on saying it? Answers the Gemara, Tzricha. If we only had the first Mishnah, that Mishnah clearly points in the direction of Rabbi Lazar. Because the Mishnah somewhat is self-contradictory. The Tani, first the Mishnah says, Ein Kaisim, you may not write a get b'mechubber. And then the Mishnah says, Kosvoi. So how do we reconcile? Can you or can't you? The answer is, you may not write the Tarif, but you can write the Typhus. Avo Sefer. The next Mishnah that says, a cheresh shayt of a cotton can write a get, that Mishnah, says the Gemara, very much points in the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. The Tani, why does the Mishnah end off there? She'en kima get ela b'chaysamav. So the Mishnah clearly speaks about the Eidach Sima, which would very, very much point that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya. Says Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, no it's not. It's following the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. And it's the typhus that they're writing, not the typhus. As we learned the other day, if that's shot in the Mishnah, how will we understand the words, Ein kim aget el b'chesamav, that usually the same individuals are used for the Eidah Mesira and the Eidah Chesima. So there, where those words are used, Eimer, it certainly I should think that Mishnah, Ramehi represents the opinion of Ramehi, the Omer Eidim Chesim currently. That's why Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul had to say no. V'yashin Behi, if we would say our Mishnah, Hahi Nam Yikluk Meir Glaza. As we just successfully explained, there is a way, we learned to Gemara, how to explain that Mishnah follows the opinion of Glaza. Aval Ha, our Mishnah, there's a very big problem that the Gemara is going to address in a couple of moments. We're saying that the Tanakam of our Mishnah is Rabbi Lazar. But as the Gemara, there's a very big difficulty saying this. Rabbi Lazar is already mentioned as the Tan of the Seif of our Mishnah. Isn't that a clear indication that Rabbi Lazar is not the Tan of the Reisha? Aim amid the Seif Rabbi Lazar have, obviously Reisha lav Rabbi Lazar. So what do I need to, how could I explain that the Reisha is following Rabbi Lazar? That's why Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel had to come tell me, Tzricha, that even this Mishnah, the Reisha represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. We're going to need to understand, follows the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, and we're going to need to understand in a couple of moments, how do we understand the Mishnah? Is the Reisha Rabbi Lazar, is the Sefer Rabbi Lazar? The Mashal says a very interesting comment. He says that if we really need to understand this Gemara's question, our Mishnah is not so difficult. Because our Mishnah is a different perek than the first two Mishnayos that Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul explained. Says the Mashal, the fact that Mishnayos in one perek of a Masechta follow the opinion of a certain Tana is no indication that Mishnayos of the next perek or of another perek follow his opinion. So he says, the Gemara's question is not that much, interesting Mashal, on our Mishnah. Because just because the Mishnayos in the previous parak followed the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, doesn't mean that our Mishnah has to follow the opinion. The question in our Gemara, says the Mashal, is on the previous parak, where we have two consecutive Mishnayos, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul explaining follows the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. The question is, what do I need? The first Mishnah is Rabbi Lazar's opinion, obviously the second one is also, and for that we had the Gemara we just learned. So the Mishnah said that the reason is with Bnei Takana. Says the Gemara, my Takana, what does that mean? Amr Rabbi Yonason, Bnei Takana Cipher. It's for the Cipher's benefit. And again, the Reisha, he explains, follows the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. Dama Eidah Mesira Karti. So as we said a moment ago, Rabbi Elazar holds Eidim Asira Karti. And therefore, when the Torah uses the word the cost of law, it's talking about the body of the get. So certainly, according to Rabbi Elazar, the body of the get has to be written Lishma. And since the body of the get has to be written Lishma, it would be very obvious that the Rabbanan should make a gzera that the, not only the Torah should be written Lishma, but the Typhus also. Ubedinhu, dafila Typhus, nami loy lichtav. That the Typhus should also be written, not be written beforehand. So why is the Tanakhama lenient? Mishim takana soifrim, shama shar Rabbanan. The Rabbanan were concerned that you'll have a cipher. Cipher is a businessman. So sometimes he has available time. And sometimes he's busy. So the cipher who wants to act smartly wants to have, when he's available, to write Typhus of Gittin, that he should have him available when he'll need him. Not because maybe just the time when somebody comes to forget, he's busy with something else. So because of that, even though the din should have really have been that neither the Typhus nor the Tarif should be written previously, the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama, was making. So I saw the Mefarshim make a very interesting observation. If that's pshat, if Nea Takana, that we're only doing it for the benefit of the cipher, the only person that may pre-write a Typhus is a cipher. For him, we have a concern. For everyone else, we don't have this concern. Rabbi Yehuda, Pais Vakulan, the Mara continues explaining the Mishnah according to this approach. Rabbi Yehuda says, Gazer Typhus or the Tyrus. First of all, we say by get that the Typhus should not be pre-written, because the Tyrus certainly may not be pre-written, and Gazer Shtaris or the Git. So the obvious question that the Rishonim ask, isn't this a Gzeira L'Gzeira? Really, by all Shtaris, both the Typhus and the Tyrus can be written. So here we're making a double Gzeira, the Tyrus of all Shtaris, because of the Tyrus of a get. And then we go a step further by all stars because of the Typhus. So the Rishonim explain, Rabbi Yehuda, the pshat in Rabbi Yehuda's gzeira is, he was concerned that if we're going to start differentiating between different stars, that by get is that one halacha, and by other stars there's a different halacha, there's going to be total confusion. So he wanted to have uniformity, and the halacha by all stars is that you can't write any portion of the star previously. Rabbi Elazar machsh bekulam, chutz migiti nashim, because he says that by get I make gzeira Typhus at the Tyrif, Shtaris at the Gittin like Gozer. And again, we have the Machlokes Rashi Tyrif how to learn. According to Tyrif, it's very simple. By get, you have to write the Tyrif and the Typhus. You can't write them beforehand. By other Shtaris, we don't have that such gzeira. Tyrif's approach. Rashi's approach is that by a get, you cannot write neither the Tyrif or the Typhus beforehand, but by other Shtaris, you can write the Tyrif, Typhus, not the Tyrif. Shenemar, the cost of law. So we learn in the Mishnah what is the basis for Rabbi Elazar's opinion, because he quotes the pasuk by get the cost of law lishma. Ask the Gemara, viki cost of law. When the Torah writes the word cost of law, it's a Torah food exif. So how does Rabbi Elazar use, obvious question? How does Rabbi Elazar use this pasuk to back his opinion that both the Torah and the Typhus have to be may not be pre-written when that pasuk that he's quoting only speaks to the Tyrif? Answers the Gemara, El Eima, Mishum Shanam of a Kosov Law Lishma. And the Mefarshim say beautiful Pshat. It's important to understand this Pshat, just Taich. He says there's a difference when the Mishnah uses the words Shenemar versus that the Mishnah uses the words Mishum Shanemar. If the Mishnah uses the word Shenemar, it's a direct explanation of what we just said. And there we have a question. Because the Kosov Law is only on the Tyrif, not on the Typhus. The Mishnah says the Gemara doesn't use the words Shenemar. The Mishnah uses the words Mishum Shenemar. When the Mishnah uses the words Mishum Shenemar, it doesn't mean to say that these words should be applied to this din. Because we have such words, we made such a gzeira. And therefore, since we have that the Tyrif can't be pre-written, so the Chazal went further and said that neither should the Typhus be pre-written. And now the Gemara comes to the question that we quoted earlier. So according to this approach, the Tanakhama of the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar, and the third opinion of the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar. Kashi Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar. So what is Rabbi Elazar's opinion? Answers the Gemara, Trei Tanoia, leave it to Rabbi Elazar. So Machlok is Tanoim, what Rabbi Elazar held. So the Mefarshim ask a very obvious question. Using a teretz of Trei Tanoia, leave it to Rabbi Elazar, is a very difficult teretz. Why do we have to come up with such a difficult teretz? Were we going to say that Tanakam is Rebbe Elazar, and the last opinion is Rebbe Elazar, and is a machlokes what Rebbe Elazar said? Why don't we just explain, and the Gemara is going to give such an opinion in a moment, that the Tanakam of the Mishnah is Rebbe Meir, and everything is gewaldig. The Tanakam is Rebbe Meir, then we have Rebbe Yehuda, then we have Rebbe Elazar. Why do we have to say difficult teretz? So the Rashi and the Ritva discussed this question, and they answer, this Shita, this opinion held that it's very difficult to subscribe that the Tanakam of our Mishnah is Rebbe Meir. Because what is the Tanakam of our Mishnah saying? That by get, you can't write the Torah beforehand. But that's very difficult to understand. Because Rebbe Meir holds that the Torah doesn't have to be written, is not a problem. Because Rebbe Meir holds the cost of laws goes on the Chesima. Furthermore, we learned the Gemara, and we're going to quote the Gemara again in Mitzvah Shem, the Rebbe Meir holds a filum motza ba'ashpa. If you found a get in a garbage dump, the chosma, and you sign it properly, it's kosher. So how could you say that the Tanakam va Mishnah that says you can't write the Torah beforehand is Rebbe Meir? Rebbe Meir doesn't hold that way. So even though it involves saying a difficult teretz of trei tanoi aliva de Rebbe Elazar, we have no better teretz. But Rebbe Shapsi on Mechizkia disagrees. He says the reason is Mishum Ktata. Meaning as follows. Remehi, Dom Edech Simakarti. He holds that the Tanakam of our Mishnah is really Remeya. I, as we just said, if it's the opinion of Remeya, so you shouldn't have to write, you could be able to write everything beforehand. Why did Remeya say that you shouldn't write the Torah beforehand? But then who da filu Torah Nami Lichtav. Halachically, you should be able to write the Torah beforehand also. However, Zimnan the Shamalei L'Seifer, sometimes you'll hear a Seifer, the Kakosif, that he's writing the get. So you have a wife that hears a Seifer writing a get for this husband and his wife. It could well be that the Seifer was never asked, but the Seifer sees that the Shalom Bayis with this couple isn't so good. And he sees he's going to have business, and he, like we said before, he's available today. So he writes out the get today. The Savru Iyu Kamala. She sees the cipher writing her name in a get. What's she going to think? My husband is thinking of divorcing me. What's that going to do to Shalom Bayis? It's obviously going to deteriorate something that's probably not a good situation anyway. It's only going to make more discord in the family. So to avoid that situation, says Rameyer, that even though halachically the Torah could be written beforehand, don't write the Torah beforehand, because of Shalom Bayis. Rav Chisda Amar Avimi says the reason, when the Mishnah used the words takana, it means Mishum takanas agunas. However, there's two ways of understanding that, says the Gemara. Amar Le Rameya, Amar Le Rebbe Elazar. This opinion of takanas agunas could be explained that we hold like Rameya, or could be explained that we follow Rebbe Elazar. And says the Gemara, Amar Le Rameya, it's following the opinion of Rav Meir, the Edech Simakarti. Really, the halacha is, like we just said, according to Rav Meir, since the cost of law refers to the chesima, the halacha ought to be that even the tarif can be written beforehand. However, sometimes a husband and wife get into a fight, and if the entire get is already pre-written, so he has the get ready, and he's angry, and he'll throw the get at her, and he'll leave her as an aguna. So Rashi, in all the Rishonim, are very disturbed with the word ma'agin. She's not an aguna, she's divorced. What's the definition of an aguna? The definition of an aguna is that she's not able to get married. She can get married, she's divorced. So the Mefarshim all are very, try to find pshat. One pshat is that she could get married, but it's not always easy to get married. Another pshat that I saw, is that you have to reflect on, some cipher says this pshat, you have to reflect on the words. The Gemara uses the word v'zorak lo. He throws the get at her. We're going to have many times in the Masechta the situation where if a husband throws a get at his wife, there's a difference if it's closer to him or closer to her. If it's closer to her, she's divorced. If it's closer to him, she's not divorced. The Zorakla, he may throw the get at her. And we're not going to be exactly sure to whom was it closer, that the halacha is that she's an aguna, she can't get remarried, but she's not maybe married either. That's the case. And that's why it says the Chassam Sofer, the word v'zorok lo is very appropriate. In that case, we could have a real shaila. Another pshat that I saw is that if a couple, Rachmana Litzlan, are having problems, and they mutually decide to get divorced, so the woman knows this marriage is over. However, if it was done at the spur of the moment, as the case of the Gemara, that the husband got angry at her and threw a get at her, she's always going to think that this divorce wasn't a real divorce. It was just done in anger. It was just done in anger. And therefore, perhaps she won't get remarried because she thinks she's not divorced. She thinks her husband's coming back. And that's why she'll remain an aguna. In fact, I saw a similar shaila that the Paiskim discuss. There was a person who had hired a worker. And the worker claimed that the person who he did the work for owed him 2,000 dollars. He comes to collect his fee, and the person only gives him 1,000 dollars. The worker gets very upset. The worker gets very upset, and he throws the $1,000 back at him and says, I don't want your $1,000. I don't need your $1,000. You owe me $2,000. So the question is, again, I'm not getting into the specifics of the story because I didn't say a story. The question is that considered that the worker was Michael the money? Because what did he say? I don't want your $2,000. I don't need your $2,000. I don't need your money. He's sort of being Michael it. So is there a financial obligation still on that? And the Paiskim say, just like an Al Gemara, unless sometimes people say something but it doesn't really mean a mechila. Here too, the woman doesn't really recognize it's a get. It could well be that even if the worker said it, he just said it out of anger and it doesn't represent a mechila. But then I saw one final pshat. Why is she an aguna? There's an interesting machlokes Paiskim. The halacha is that if a woman got married to two men, and we're going to discuss this more later in our perek, and two of her husbands died, she's called a katlonis, and she's not supposed to get remarried. We'll discuss some of the details of that halacha in Mitzvah Shem later in our perek. There's a machloikas apaiskim. What is the din if a woman got divorced twice? Is she allowed to get remarried? The Rama brings down two opinions. The Rama actually says that we're not machmer. And the Rama says that even if a woman got divorced twice, she could still get remarried. But there are opinions that say she cannot get remarried. So that's why she may be an aguna. This may be her second get. And now she can't get remarried because she already got divorced twice, Uma'aganla, and she'll remain an aguna. That's explaining the Mishnah according to Ramey's opinion. Amrila Rabbi Elazar, but there's a way of explaining this according to Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Dama Edem Asirikarti. According to Rabbi Elazar, Edem Asirikarti. Truthfully, the body to get is so important according to Belezer. However, the zimna the boiler may lament nesiyam. Sometimes a husband writes a get because he's traveling away, and we need to get prepared. And we're worried that if the husband doesn't find a cipher, the shavak lover also magmas of law, he'll leave her and she'll remain in aguna. So by having the typhus pre-written, we're going to create a situation that it's easier for a husband to divorce his wife and she won't remain an aguna. So the Beis Shmuel uses this Gemara to prove his opinion in a machloikis that he has with the Chalkas Mechaikik. The Chalkas Mechaikik holds that a get cannot be written by two cipher. You have to have only one cipher writing a get. The Beis Shmuel says that a get can be written by a combination of cipher. And Beis Shmuel proves his point from this Gemara. What does our Gemara say? That we want to be able to create a situation that a woman shouldn't remain in aguna, and it should be easy for the get to be available, that the husband should give her, and she shouldn't remain in aguna. If, and therefore we can have pre-written gittin. But if the halacha is that the cipher who wrote the get previously has to fill in the blanks, what have we accomplished? Now go look for that cipher. It must be that the halacha is that even if one cipher writes the Taufis, another cipher can write the Tairif, the opinion of the Beis Shmuel. So it says the Gemara, Now we're going to focus, as we mentioned when we learned the Mishnah, Makom HaZman, the date is crucial to a get. So says the Gemara, Kapasuk B'tani, our Mishnah just says a blanket statement, Loishnam and Nesuin, Veloishnam and Erisin, under all circumstances, a get has to be written with a date in it. So we need to review a Gemara we learned on Daf Yud Zayin. On Daf Yud Zayin, we learned the Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Why is a date and a get so important? One opinion was, Mishum Bas HaChoisei. We're concerned that, let's say, the husband and the wife are relatives, and the wife maybe had an adulterous relationship. So the husband will predate the get, so it shouldn't be considered that she had a relationship as an Eishes Ish. Shem Yechapo Abas HaChoisei. Then the other reason was Mishum Peiris. The halacha is that a husband is entitled to sell the peiris of the nichsi malug, but he's only allowed to sell them as long as they're married. So he may manipulate the date, so he should be able to continue selling the peiris of the nichsi malug. So says the Gemara, Bishlam minasuin, we could understand why a date and a get from a nesuin has to be there. Whether we follow the opinion of Basa Choysoi, Ika, there's a concern, Shemichapa Basa Choysoi, as we just explained, Beimel Shemanda Peri Ika, and we just explained why there's a concern about the Peris. However, as the Gemara, Elamina Erisin, we're also saying that the Mishnah is indicating that all getting, even a get from a woman who's only in Arusa, has to have a date. So says the Gemara, Bishlamanda Mishum Basa Choysoi, we could understand, because it's important to indicate. An Arusa is halachically considered an Eishes Ish. And an Arusa who has a relationship, an adulterous relationship, is like an Eishes Ish who has a relationship. So the concern of Shemi Chapa Basa Choysoi doesn't make a difference if she's an Arusa or an Asua. El Manda Omar Mishum Peri, but according to Manda Omar, that the reason that we need to have a date and a get is because a Peri asked the Gemara, Arusa Mias Le Peri, because as we learned in Masech Tiksubis, why did Chazal say that the husband is entitled to the payers of the Mnuchsim Elog? So we learned in Masech Tiksubis, Tachas Prakuna, because if she were Chas V'Shalom to be kidnapped, the husband is obligated to ransom her. So Chazal made a deal. He gets the payers, and he has to ransom her if she, Chas V'Shalom, gets kidnapped. But that's only once she's a Nesua. Prior to the Nesuan, there are no payers, and there is no ransom. So if the reason that you write a get, you write a date, is because of Paris. There is no Paris by an Arusa. Answers the Gemara. I heard the reason why the date and a get is so important from Ula. It's because of the children. However, I didn't understand what Ula meant when he said that the date, even by a get of an Arusa, needs to be there because of the children, and I never understood what he meant. Kivin Ishmat Allah Tanya. But then I learned the following Braisa, and I understood. The Braisa says, Ha'imer, kisru get larusasi. Somebody writes, somebody says, I want a get written for my Arusa, l'cherishchenesena agreshena. In other words, let's say it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And you have a couple. They have Erison. This husband has a very interesting plan. He's going to do Erison, let's say Nesuin, Rosh Chodesh Adar, and divorce right after the Nesuin. But when is he making this decision? Today, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And he writes that date of Rosh Chodesh Shvat into the get. So they consummate the marriage on Rosh Chodesh Adar. She'll maybe get pregnant from that. From that Nesuin, and then he'll give it a get that he wrote back on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Before the Nesuin. That will be the date. Now, when people see that she was divorced on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and she has a child, not 10 months later, they'll say that she had a child out of wedlock, because she was already divorced Rosh Chodesh Shvat. How could she have a child 9 months after Rosh Chodesh Adar? And people will speak ill about that child. So we don't want people to speak badly about Jewish children. So because of that, even by the get of an Arusa, the date is so important. Let's read the Gemara inside. Haimer, kiss for get l'Arusasi, write a get for my Arusa, l'cheshenesena agreshena, ain't a get. What's the reason that we were so careful? The child's not a mamzer because she's not a married woman, but he's considered a child born out of wedlock. And that's why even the get of an arusa needs to have a date. Again, in our world, this is not a very relevant shaila, because the way we do it is we conduct erusin and nesuin essentially simultaneously right under the chuppah. In their world, erusin was done quite a while before nesuin. However, the Trumas Hadeshin does say la halacha that if there was a couple that only had an erusin and then they get divorced, the get should say that this is a get erusin. Also, the Eater wants to suggest that maybe from here we see that the real reason is because Mishim Peri. Because if the real reason is Mishim Shemi Chapa Basa Choysoi, so we wouldn't need this reason. The fact that Ula goes out of his way to look for a new reason, it must be because he doesn't subscribe to Shemi Chapa Basa Choysoi. Amrav Zera, Amrav Abba Beshel, Amrav Hamnuna Saba, Amrav Adabar Hava, Amrav. Halacha Kalebelozo. The halacha is like Rebelozo. So the Machloikis Rishon, what does the Gemara mean when it says Halacha Kalebelozo? Doesn't mean like Rabbi Lazar of our Mishnah that says that by a get, the Torif and the Taifas may not be pre-written. And by other stars, we have the Machlokes Rashi and Taifas. Or doesn't mean when we're saying the opinion of Rabbi Lazar throughout our Masechta that Edom is Sirikarti, that that's the Halacha, that Edom is Sirikarti. We have a Machlokes Rishonim. Carly, the Rabbi Lazar, they called Rabbi Lazar Tuvnoi Techachmi. He's the smartest chacham, that we follow his opinion. There's an interesting Chassidus of Art. The Chassidus of Art says that Rabbi Lazar, we're saying that we follow the opinion of Edom Sirikarti, the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. Says the B'nai Yisoschar. So it comes out according to Rabbi Lazar, there are three stages in a get. The first stage is the Ksiva, the second stage is the Chsima, and the third stage is the Mesira. Says the B'nai Yisoschar, we have corresponding to that in the Jewish calendar. Rosh Hashanah is the time of the Ksiva. Yom Kippur is the time of the Chsima. And Hashanah Rabbah is the time for the Mesira, where the final Psak is given. That's why in the Chassidish circles, Hashanah Rabbah is considered such an important day following this Bnei Yisoschar. Ask the Gemara, Vafil B'shtar Shtaris Nami, is the Halacha, that by other stars also, that the halach like is like a belazer. Frek the Gemara, ask the Gemara for Amr Papa Mishmei the Rava. Hi a shart of the dining. If you have a hempik is a certification that the Yonim are certifying the signatures of the get. The michtava that was written mikamed lasadi sahadi before the witnesses bore testimony. Before the witnesses actually came into Bezdin and said, authenticated that this is their signature, psula, alma mechsek yishikra. You can't have a get, you can't have a shtar written beforehand. Hachinami mechsek yishikra. So how could you over here say, how could Rabbi Lazar say that the shtaris could be written beforehand, at least the typhus part, why isn't that considered mechsek yishikra? Says the Gemara, that's not a concern. V'leisa, but Rav Nachman. Dom Rav Nachman, Oymar Hayar Meya. Just like Rav Meya said, quoted Rav Meya earlier, that fila matzah ba'ashma, even if you find a get in a garbage dump, chasma v'nosna lo, and it was signed properly, it's kosher. That fila rabbonu like plug Rav Meya. Even Rav Lazar doesn't disagree with Rav Meya, el begitei noshim, where there's a special halacha to be in ksiva l'shma. Ava b'shar shtaris, there is no problem. If you use the shtar to borrow money and you paid up the chayv, why can't you reuse the shtar? Because the obligation was already cancelled once it was paid up. Tama, so what's the reason you can't reuse the shtar? The nimchal shibudai. And every shtar, this is the way the Rishonim explain, carries with it one shibud. You can't have two out of one. So, as the Rishonim explained this Gemara, let's say I borrow money from you today, and I pay you right back. And then I borrow money from you today again. So the shtar is 100% accurate. You can't reuse the shtar. Why? Because every shtar only has in it one shibud, and this one shibud was already used up after I paid up the same first time. But what is the Brisa saying? You can't reuse a shtar. But it doesn't say, so we see that Mechsik Shikra is not a concern, and that's why a shtar, according to Rashi, has the Taifas pre-written, and according to Taifas even has the Taif pre-written, even though it's Mechsik Shikra, is not a real concern. Two interesting Machlaikas. One is Machlaikas Rishonim. The second is not Machlaikas. The first is Machlaikas Rishonim. The Gemara is saying that if you wrote the case that we just gave, I wrote a shtar, paid you back, and then borrowed money again, so you can't use it for Meshubadim. Can you use it for Bnei Chayrim? Does the shtar have any validity? Machlokes Rishonim. But the Ktzai says, interesting, even though we learned earlier in the Masech that if a get was written Shloi Lishma, one of the ways the Gemara suggests that it could be corrected is by rewriting over the first writing. Says the Ktzai, that's only regarding Lishma. But a shtar that was used up and Nimcha L'Shibudai cannot be corrected by writing over the original shtar.